Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I'm going to ask that we turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 23. We're going to continue our study of the book of Acts, beginning in verse 11. Acts 23, beginning in verse 11. This is God's word. "The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, 'Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome.' The next morning, the Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. More than 40 men were involved in this plot. They went to the chief priests and elders and said, 'We have taken a solemn oath not to eat anything until we have killed Paul. Now then, you and the Sanhedrin petition the commander to bring him before you on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about his case. We are ready to kill him before he gets here.' But when the son of Paul's sister heard of this plot, he went into the barracks and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions and said, 'Take this young man to the commander. He has something to tell him.' So he took him to the commander. The centurion said, 'Paul, the prisoner, sent for me and asked me to bring this young man to you because he has something to tell you.' The commander took the young man by the hand, drew him aside, and asked, 'What is it you want to tell me?' He said, 'The Jews have agreed to ask you to bring Paul before the Sanhedrin tomorrow on the pretext of wanting more accurate information about him. Don't give in to them, because more than 40 of them are waiting in ambush for him. They've taken an oath not to eat or drink until they've killed him. They are ready now, waiting for your consent to their request.' The commander dismissed the young man and cautioned him, 'Don't tell anyone that you've reported this to me.' Then he called two of his centurions and ordered them, 'Get ready a detachment of 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at 9 tonight. Provide mounts for Paul so that he may be taken safely to Governor Felix.' He wrote a letter as follows: 'Claudius Lysias to His Excellency Governor Felix. Greetings. This man was seized by the Jews and they were about to kill him, but I came with my troops and rescued him, for I had learned that he is a Roman citizen. I wanted to know why they were accusing him, so I brought him to their Sanhedrin. I found that the accusation had to do with questions about their law, but there was no charge against him that deserved death or imprisonment. When I was informed of a plot to be carried out against this man, I sent him to you at once. I also ordered his accusers to present to you their case against him. So the soldiers, carrying out their orders, took Paul with them during the night and brought him as far as Antipatris. There, or the next day, they let the cavalry go on with him while they returned to the barracks. When the cavalry arrived in Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor and handed Paul over to him. The governor read the letter and asked what province he was from. Learning that he was from Cilicia, he said, 'I will hear your case when your accusers get here.' Then he ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's palace." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. In verse 11, the first verse that we started with, God says to Paul, "Take courage. Take courage." And he tells him that there's more to come. "I have plans for you. Just as you've testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." Why must he do so? Because that's what God has decreed. That is the plan of God. When God has a plan, it's going to happen. A lot of times we behave as if, you know, God's done all he can do, and now it's up to you. No, it's not. Jesus said, if the crowd kept quiet, the rocks would cry out. Okay? God will be praised, and one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This is not a nice thing we hope will happen if everything goes according to plan. Everything is going according to plan. God is working his purpose out as year succeeds to year. The person who taught me that song was Corrie ten Boom. If anybody knew what it was to be in a difficult situation, it was Corrie, the only member of her family to survive Nazi concentration camp. And yet she knew God is working his purpose out as year succeeds to year. God is working his purpose out, and the time is drawing near. Nearer and nearer draws the time that shall surely be, when the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Why do we know that? Because even the crucifixion was a part of God's plan that he had told us about long before. Read Isaiah 53 and numerous other Old Testament passages. Jesus said this had to be. This is what is written. And death could not hold him because God had promised he would not allow his Holy One to undergo decay. And God raised him up. And you and I need to realize when we live in a world that is filled with all kinds of uncertainty, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but God does. And God told Paul to take courage because he was going to go to Rome, and he said that not only because of what Paul had just been through. Remember, the people had tried to beat him to death. He'd been rescued once, then brought before the Sanhedrin the next day, and there they attacked again, and the commander was afraid he was going to be torn to pieces. That's a tough couple of days, isn't it? Have you ever had a week where twice in one week, people tried physically to kill you and they got their hands on you? That's a tough week. Most of us think we've had a tough week if there was a lot of traffic. Okay? This was a guy who was in a very difficult situation with real people out to kill him. And that's what he'd been through. He didn't know what he was about to go through. You see, it was the next morning the Jews formed a conspiracy. They've already tried to kill him twice. Now they've got a plan. We're going to have to plan this thing. And the wicked lies of Paul's enemies, who bound themselves with an oath so that they could kill him, determined to kill him. Does that strike you as incongruous? Okay. I don't understand. Who were these people making an oath to? Why did they go to the Sanhedrin, who were the leading religious figures from both the Sadducees group and the Pharisees group, and the high priest was a part of it, and go to them and say, listen, we have bound ourselves under oath to commit murder, but in order to do it, we need for you to tell a lie. And the Sanhedrin said, okay, we can do that. Why? Because they were a bunch of wicked, murderous, evil people who were in control. Do you ever look at some of the leadership in the world today and start to feel like, I don't think these are nice people? You ever feel that way? Do you ever see that people in power are not necessarily good people who want to honor God? Are you shocked by that? You shouldn't be. It's not a new pattern. Here we see lying, murderous people who are not just in positions of power, they're in positions of religious leadership. Wow. Well, this is a long time ago. I'm sure that doesn't happen in the world. That happens all the time, generation after generation. God hates lies. God hates deceit. God hates murderous violence. But God used a child, a young man, to intervene. Now, it's translated in my Bible, young man, and I think that's a legitimate translation. But apparently he was very young, because if you notice, when he comes to the commander with his statement, the commander took him by the hand. Okay? Now, I mean, maybe he was just being friendly. But I think that implies that this was a young, young man. Does that make sense? The commander looked on him almost as a child. And I point that out because we need to realize that children are listening. Young people are listening. They're watching. They're learning. And they're picking up a lot more than you may think. My wife taught the youth group, the junior high. I had the high school group at a church in Massachusetts years ago when I was on staff there before I pastored my first church. And she said, you know, it's really discouraging. I prepare these lessons and I go in there and I pour out my heart and they sit around this round table and just look at the table. Is anybody listening? Well, yeah, the majority of those kids ended up in ministry. They were listening. And they've come back to us and said what a difference that teaching made in their lives. You may think your kids aren't observing anything. You may think they're not paying attention. It is very appropriate on Mother's Day to realize that kids are soaking up a lot. And they remember not the things you were hoping to drill into them, but the things that you may not have even realized you said. But they remember. They saw it. They heard it. These folks who formed this conspiracy and went to the Sanhedrin and made their appeal and laid out their plan, those folks had no idea that there was a young person who was going to undo their plans. But God can even use young people, even children. I read a story. I can't say for sure that it's true, but I hope it is, and I find it believable. An older man was trying to preach on a train. He was trying to share the gospel on a train. And a woman attacked him. She was so offended by what he said that she began to beat him. And her little child said, "Mommy, stop beating him. He is a messenger from God." And the woman immediately stopped and began to weep. And she said, "My child has never spoken before. He could not speak." Is that believable? Yeah, if you've seen the things I've seen, that's believable. Can I say for sure that happened? It's not going to be turned out to be one of those things that people who are religious make up in order to try and witness for God? No, I can't say that for sure. I already said sometimes deeply religious people are liars. These people were zealous and they were liars. They thought they were zealous for God and yet they ignored God's word. I plead with you, if you really care about God, learn what he says and obey it.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
God not only used a young man, a young man, but God used a lying commander of the Roman army and a bunch of Roman soldiers who were not Christians in order to preserve the life of God's servant, God's messenger. Why do you say this guy's a lying commander? Well, look at the letter that he wrote to Governor Felix. Verse 27, this man was seized by the Jews and they were about to kill him, but I came with my troops and rescued him, for I had learned that he is a Roman citizen. Do you remember what happened? That's not what happened. It's true that he brought his troops and rescued Paul, but he rescued him by putting him in chains and treating him like a criminal and taking him away and saying, I don't understand what's going on. Let's beat it out of him. They were about to try and extract testimony from Paul through torture. And Paul said, is it lawful for you to beat a Roman citizen who hasn't been found guilty of anything? And they were horrified. Roman citizen, we can do that to other people that we've conquered, but no, if you're a Roman citizen, you have rights. Paul had already had a bad beating that day, and he didn't want one more from the Romans. And so he, in that moment, had brought out his Roman citizen card, as it were. He used his citizenship not just to protect himself, but because this guy was all about sharing the gospel. There are times when Christians have our rights violated, and we need to just thank the Lord for the privilege of suffering for His name. But there are other times when, as citizens of this country, we need to know our rights and exert our rights. Not just for our comfort, but so that we will be in a position to advance the gospel. We shouldn't be obnoxious about it. Paul didn't say, stop! You have no right to do this! I'm a Roman citizen! He could have said that and he would have been correct. But he said, is it lawful for you to do this to a Roman citizen who hasn't even been convicted of something? So sorry, fella. Are you really a Roman citizen? Yes, I am. Okay, then. You and I need to know what our rights are and how and when to exert them. So God used this commander. Even though he was not an honest man, even though he was not a believer, God used him. And God used a bunch of soldiers, Roman soldiers. I like the way that when the commander learned that there were over 40 killers waiting to attack, he called two of his centurions and ordered them, get ready a detachment of 200 soldiers. 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at 9 tonight. He's not taking any chances. Suppose you are one of the killers. There's over 40 of us. Yeah, that's plenty. maybe not. Not tonight, fellas. Let's go home. God used those Roman soldiers. Do you think they had any idea who they were protecting? Do you think they understood the historic significance of Paul the Apostle, who would write more of the New Testament than anybody else? Do you think they understood that the reason we know about the people they served, the commander who gave them orders and they obeyed, the governor that they were supposed to take Paul to, the reason we know the names of those people is because of Paul. It's because God had a plan for Paul. Well, what makes Paul so special? The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I've brought up from time to time my distinguished ancestry. I just every so often feel a need to trot that out so that you know you're in the presence of a person whose relatives made good. Okay? I may not amount to much, but man, have I got some distinguished cousins. You do too, in all likelihood, but you don't know about it. You know, the most significant thing about every Christian? Jesus. I mean, that's what it's all about. Paul says of himself, all those things I had going for me, my ancestry, my education, all the stuff that I counted as really important. That's who I am. I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. I am, with regard to the law, blameless. He says, I consider that as dung. And for those children who don't know what dung is, it's poo. Paul uses the word we translate as dung in order to describe the value he now puts on all that stuff that used to make him proud of who he was. He says, I'm nothing. I'm a bond slave of Jesus. Please know that. Let me ask you, what's your identity? Who do you think you are? Do you find your identity and your significance in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Because if you're looking anywhere else, it's utterly in vain. It just amounts to a pile of dung. God used a lying commander and a bunch of Roman soldiers to protect his messenger. Why? Because he was God's messenger. God even used the horses. The horses. God can use animals. Ask Balaam. Ask Jonah. God can use whomever and whatever he chooses. So don't get an inflated sense of self-importance, but do rejoice in the privilege of being a child of God. It's not because God looks at you, as so many folks would have you believe today, and says, you are worthy. You are wonderful. Stop putting yourself down. You're more wonderful than you know. I don't find that in here. What I find is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worship Him. Can we honor those to whom honor is due? The Bible commands it. But as we honor them, give thanks to God, because He is the one who is worthy.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.